It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to the show. If you're looking for something to do, and you live east of the Cascades in Washington, or maybe in northern Idaho, or even as far away as Missoula, Montana, might want to attend the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show. It's the annual fundraiser put on by the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council, and it's happening right now through Sunday. And if you're a Saturday listener, you might want to bring a date, because there's a date night that's taking place after hours, after the show today, featuring some music and dancing. But if you go during the day, bring the kids, all sorts of activities for them, and bring your notebooks too, because there's all sorts of seminars going on today featuring experts in the field of hunting and fishing and game calling and even bird dog training. So make plans to attend the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show at the Spokane Fair and Expo Center. This week on the show, we're going to tell you about another event, and this one's taking place March 22nd through the 24th in the Columbia Basin of Eastern Washington. It's the Othello Sandhill Crane Festival, and it's a festival dedicated to the return of those big migratory birds, the sandhill cranes, that come through the basin about this time every year. It's also a birding festival dedicated to all sorts of other birds, and there's a lot to see around here at places like the Desert Wildlife Area and the Columbia National Wildlife Refuge, and there's going to be several events. Now, a lot of them are full at this point, but there's still room for some. We're talking things like guided bird tours on buses or on foot or even in boats. There's also a whole bunch of lectures and seminars that'll be taking place and some do-it-yourself activities too. Chris Bronwart and Jen Stevenson, two of the people putting this big event together, will tell you more about it towards the end of our program today. Staying in this area, Shelby Ross is going to join us for an extended Max Minute talking about transitional walleye fishing, how to target those walleye as they move from their winter lairs towards the spawning areas, especially in reservoirs like Moses Lake and Potholes Reservoir. But this is advice that'll work just about anywhere you're looking for walleye on lakes this time of year. Sticking with upcoming events, we're going to get to talk to Stephanie Knowlton. She is with Oregon State Parks, and they've got a whole bunch going on during their spring break, which takes place the last week of March. We're talking things like Whale Watch Week, where you can go to the coast, and volunteers will give you information to help you spot the migrating gray whales as they head north back to the Bering Sea. There's also a whole bunch of guided tours that'll take you on walks looking for birds, learn about the hidden lives of beavers, go on a tour at Fort Rock in southeast Oregon, explore the caves there, and check out a heritage center that is a real time capsule located near John Day, Oregon. Finally, we'll check in with Roger Phillips with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. As a matter of fact, we'll be doing that in just a couple of minutes. Roger, as always, has got a whole bunch of news out of the Gem State for you when it comes to the outdoors. But in particular, we're going to talk about some archery schools and some hunting and fishing day camps where your kids are going to get their Hunter Ed certificate in the process. On top of this, we've got your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week. And one important thing of note, you're used to hearing David Sparks and Sportsman Spotlight at the end of this opening segment, but that show is ending. So we're going to give David one last hurrah with this segment and thank him so much for providing us so many years of quality radio with his fantastic segment, Sportsman Spotlight.
Welcome to camp, David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. New to camp and want to become one of the crew? Take out the garbage? Hey, everybody, we're out of beer. Ritz crackers. The way I figure it, if not for the memories, what's even the use of a hunting camp? Camp has everything. Great food, games, and pranks, and of course, hunting. Editor-in-chief of Field and Stream, Colin Kearns, chips in.
Hunting camp is one of our favorite places because it's just this place, whether it's in a wall tent or a cabin or someone's house or a trailer. It doesn't matter the actual structure of the camp itself. It's all about the traditions, the friendships, the family that gather for camp, and of course, the hunting that takes place around that camp. And we just decided we love camp so much that let's devote an entire issue to this very special place. So that's what we did.
I'm a hockey player. It's the equivalent of what goes on in the locker room. A lot of us figure that the reason we play hockey is just because of the banter in the locker room afterwards.
There is. Wouldn't be camp if there wasn't a fair amount of BSing and deer drags that get longer and more grueling with every retelling. And that's part of the charm. What goes on in camp stays in camp. If a buddy misses a shot on a deer that he shouldn't have hit, you might want to give him a good ribbing around the fire, but once you guys go home from camp, that stays put.
Loose lips sink ships. You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. It is time for our monthly check-in with Roger Phillips at the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, because there's always so much happening in the Gem State when it comes to the outdoors. Roger, great to have you back on the air.
Great to be here. We always try to have something going on, whether we want it or not.
Well, you've got a couple things going on that I think are really interesting when it comes to getting youth involved into the shooting sports. And one of these is an introduction to youth archery class. It's happening in April at the Farragut Shooting Range Center in Northern Idaho. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool program. It's a four-week series, and, you know, pretty much as described, youth can come out and learn archery. All they have to bring is, you know, a good attitude. There is a fee for it. That's $40, but they need no equipment or anything like that. We have certified instructors out there who can teach them all about archery, and obviously it's at a range, and we've got some nice 3D targets out there, so it could be a real fun opportunity for people to come out and learn how to launch some arrows.
Absolutely, and this takes place Tuesdays in April, four different Tuesdays, and it's for kids between the ages of 10 and 16, so you can go to the Idaho Department of Fish and Game website, go to the press releases page and find out more about that. Another one that's going on this summer, Learn to Hunt and Fish Day Camps are going to be going off in the Panhandle region. How do these differ from normal hunter ed classes?
Well, it's pretty cool because these are really day camps, and they're more about learning how to hunt and learning how to fish and enjoy the outdoors. And as an added bonus or benefit, they'll get a hunter education certification coming out of it. So this isn't your traditional, we're just here to learn to get our hunter ed card. It's coming out and spending some time at day camps during a real nice time of year. And then, like I say, and at the end of this, they get a hunter's ed certification.
Well, the dates for this are June 25th through the 28th and July 30th through August 2nd. You can find out more by contacting the Panhandle Regional Office, and they can tell you exactly where this is going to happen and how to register.
Yep, and these are only $20 a piece, so a little bit cheaper, and hopefully everybody can go out there and have a good time doing that.
Oh yeah, $20 for 4 days of personalized instruction, that is a great deal. All right, moving on to our next topic, we're heading to the South Fork of the Clearwater River. I have to admit, I didn't know this. You know, all those pullouts there along the Clearwater, a lot of them are owned by the Idaho Transportation Department, and they don't want anglers camping there, do they?
Yeah, that's correct. And this is kind of an interesting one that's actually been on the books for a long time. This isn't a change, but, you know, people have kind of looked the other way a little bit, let's just say. And I know Transportation Department has asked us to help them publicize that. We didn't change any rules there. Those have always been the rules. And this is a tricky one for us because it sounds like we're the bad guys here. And nobody's the bad guys. It's always been this way. We're just trying to help people understand that if you're rolling in your RV thinking you're going to camp right on the off a pole out on the along the South Fork of the Clearwater in the spring. That's not going to happen. So just trying to help anglers understand that.
Do need to clarify, though, it's still okay to get out and just fish a run and then get back in your vehicle and go to the next pull out, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what those pullouts are for.
Okay, now heading to Idaho Falls. I understand that on March 28th at the Fish and Game Office, there's going to be a big game scoring day. Tell us about this.
Well, you know, anybody who got one of those big, well, whatever, I was going to say big bulls or bucks, but it could be rams or bears or mountain lions, whatever. They can come out and bring either those antlers or a skull to the scoring day, and then we'll have Boone and Crockett scorers available to measure those things and see if they make book. And contrary to some people's opinions, yes, we do kill trophy animals in Idaho, and every year we add a few more to the books.
Last but not least, folks don't necessarily think of Idaho as a walleye state, but you do have one reservoir, Ryrie Reservoir, where the walleye numbers are definitely on the rise. Is this something that Idaho Department of Fish and Game is happy about or not? Because I know they were not introduced by your agency.
Correct. No, this is one we are very unhappy about, and unfortunately I think anglers are going to be unhappy about it too, because when we know that there is an illegally introduced walleye population that is taking hold, we are going to take some action that is going to affect more than just the walleye population. Some of the challenges, as we've discussed in the past, but your listeners might not understand, is Idaho doesn't have a real great forage base as far as non-game fish for these things to eat. So when walleye get introduced, they're eating other game fish that are very valuable, and we don't like that, and we don't want to see walleye spread where they don't belong. So we don't know what's going to happen here, but we're definitely going to have to do something with it now that we see a population getting established.
Now, is Ryrie Reservoir an irrigation reservoir? Could you literally just drain it to take care of the problem?
Usually it's not that easy for various reasons. Yes, it is an irrigation reservoir, but if we don't have the power to drain that, that's obviously water that somebody owns, and most of the reservoirs that we deal with can't be completely drained. They come down to a minimum pool. So it's a little trickier than just, you know, going in and draining it and then starting over again. And this is a pretty big reservoir, too.
Is a rotenone treatment a possibility?
It's always possible, but that's usually not our first choice or necessarily even feasible on some of these larger reservoirs.
Gotcha. Well, hope you're able to solve that problem. What are the species of fish in Ryrie that you do want in there? Are we talking about trout or bass or something else?
Yeah, trout and smallmouth bass are probably the key ones, and we probably have some perch in there and, you know, some panfish as well.
Okay. Anything else you want to get in this month for the Idaho Department of Fish and Game that folks ought to know about?
Just a reminder that here we are. We're rapidly heading towards spring, and we'll be having our controlled hunt applications for our trophy species of bighorn sheep, moose, and mountain goat.
All right. Well, if you want to find out more, folks, just go to the Idaho Department of Fish and Game website. Just Google Idaho DFG. You will get there in a hurry. And if you go to the About tab and then look for news releases, you can be in the know about what's going on, not just on these topics, but a whole lot more. Roger, always appreciate the update.
Always a pleasure, John.
In other news, registration is now open for all three tournaments on the Big Bass Trail. They're all taking place at Potholes Reservoir in Eastern Washington and Mardon Resort. They're being put on by Limit Out Performance Marine, and Russ Baker is the man behind them. The three tournaments are the Pro-Am, taking place April 25th and 26th, where the pro, who is the boater, has a chance to win a brand new $50,000 Phoenix bass boat, and the amateur, assuming there is a field of at least 100 boats, will get to win a $5,000 check. Right after that, May 4th and 5th, is the Big Bass Tournament. Now, if there's 100 boats on this one, the biggest bass caught over 2 days is going to win $10,000. On top of that, there's going to be hourly cash prizes worth up to $500, too. And May 4th and 5th, this is prime time for the spawn, so there's going to be lots of fish that are going to be caught there. And then June 6th and 7th is the shootout, where everybody fishes on day one, and the top 10 move to day two. The scores are cleared, and you see who comes out on top to win the big check for the tournament. You can go ahead and register for one or two or all three by going to BigBassTrail.com. That's BigBassTrail.com. And I will see you at the Pro-Am and the Big Bass Tournament. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Your love for the outdoors at the 62nd Annual Big Horn Show, March 14th to 17th at the Spokane County Fairgrounds, presented by Lithia Motors. There's something for everyone in the family at the Big Horn Show. Visit and shop hundreds of vendors and exhibitors. Check out the Trophy Territory Annual Exhibition. Go fishing with the kids at Leshwap Fishing World. Enjoy live music. You will find it all at this year's Big Horn Show. This event is produced by Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. Big thanks to Brett's RV and Marine, Leshwap, and many more. Get your tickets and more details at bighornshow.com.
Located in the northeast corner of Oregon, Wallowa County offers a unique destination rich in natural beauty and outdoors recreation. Enjoy the clear waters of Wallowa Lake. Take a tram to the top of Mount Howard for million-dollar views. Hike or ride into the Eagle Cap Wilderness and fish or raft the Wallowa and Grand Ronde Rivers. It's all waiting for you in beautiful Wallowa County. Plan your visit today at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmans.com.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio and to an extended Max Minute brought to you by Max Lure.
It's that time again. It's time for another extended Max Minute brought to you every week by Max Lure. And with us again is Max Lure Pro Guide Shelby Ross. He's the owner of Ross Outdoor Adventures. Check out his website and book a trip with him at rossoutdooradventures.com. Shelby, great to have you back on the air.
John, always great to be with you.
A lot of folks are thinking walleye as we transition from winter to spring, and a lot of folks are heading out to reservoirs near them, whether they're in Montana or Washington or Idaho. When it comes to finding walleye on a big lake, where do you look for them after that ice comes off and the water starts to warm a little bit?
So the fish will transition. They're pre-spawn, stacking up at the mouths of all of the feeder creeks. That's where they're going to spawn. And so usually right at ice off, they're at the mouths of these in deep, deep water. They'll be 30 to 60 foot deep. As the water temperature warms and the flow in those creeks increases, that'll be their signal to start heading upstream to spawn. So they'll be transitioning from that deep water at the mouth of the creeks up into shallower water.
And when it comes to spawning time, are we talking in a lot of these northern reservoirs, April, May, even June?
Our lakes around eastern Washington, potholes specifically, the spawn is generally spread out over two full moons, March and April. Some years that bleeds over into May a little bit and makes for tougher fishing in early May, which has been our traditional tournament time. So the spawn is split over two full moons, and I think that's Mother Nature's way of not eliminating the whole spawn if a weird deal happens with water level or whatever. But the two full moons, generally March and April, is where that occurs.
When they're spawning, they're clearly in very shallow water. How do you target them, either from the bank or from a boat?
So the bank opportunities in our area, where Crab Creek flows both into Moses Lake as well as where it flows out of Moses Lake into Potholes Reservoir, are the two best bank opportunities for walleye fishing that I know of. And the best bite is generally after dark and in very shallow water. And Moses Lake, they're throwing jigs with curly tail plastics on them. And at Potholes, blade baits in the canal are very popular as well.
What about boat anglers?
Pitching jigs into shallow water, and it's, pretty frustrating fishing. The males, the smaller males, they never quit eating. The big females, they're more concerned about spawning than eating, and so it's pretty frustrating. And more than a few times, I've dropped a camera down, and it looks like an aquarium, and you just can't not get those fish to bite, and it's just that time of year.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. All sorts of information about spring walleye fishing. Again, if you want to book a trip with Shelby, just go to his website, rossoutdooradventures.com. Thanks as always, Shelby.
Always great to be with you, John. Thank you.
That's the sound you hear when a fish hits new sonic bait fish from Max Lure. This metal lure can be cast, trolled, or jigged, and will catch just about anything that swims in the sea, the river, or the lake. The sonic bait fish has a unique vibration and flutter that can be rigged in 7 different ways. With all sorts of eye-catching colors and weights available, you'll be reaching for the sonic bait fish as your go-to lure. It's the sonic bait fish. And that's another fish on, only from Max Lure.
Sonic booms not included with the sonic bait fish strike unless you are fishing for jet fighters.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Our next stop is the Beaver State of Oregon. Oregon State Parks has all sorts of events and activities that are happening this spring. And with us here to tell you more about them, along with the fact that you can actually work for Oregon State Parks this summer season, is Stephanie Knowlton. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So if folks go to OregonStateParks.org, they're going to find all sorts of information about all the great parks you have. And there's a Things to Do tab, and under that is a calendar of events. And man, oh man, you've got a bunch going on for this time of year. Let's start off with Whale Watch Week, which kicks off, what, the 23rd?
Yes. Whale Watch Week is one of our favorites. We do that in the spring and the winter seasons for the migration along the West Coast. And this year it's March 23rd to the 31st. And there are 15 locations where we'll have trained volunteers to answer questions and help visitors spot the spouts. The whales travel from the Caving Lagoons in Mexico all the way up to Alaska. So they'll be passing through Oregon, and our trained volunteers will help visitors see them as they swim along the shore. And we have locations all the way from the northernmost park in the state, Fort Stevens, to one of the southernmost parks, Harris Beach, on the south coast, and lots of points in between. So lots of opportunities for people to spot gray whales on their northward migration.
And these are the California gray whales, very numerous. So you're going to get to see them not just last week in March, but all the way into May as they migrate north. And you'll get to see some of the calves, too, which will be kind of neat, and learn a lot in the experience. And one place, it's a great place to view them from, because no matter how bad the weather is, you're going to stay dry, is the Whale Watch Center at Depot Bay. Tell our listeners about this place.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful place. You're almost guaranteed to see a whale from the Whale Watch Center in Depot Bay, because that is where the resident whales also hang out. And so whether you're seeing a whale going along on their migration or if it's one of the resident whales, you're bound to see spots. So it's really spectacular. So there are these large picture windows. You can see the cozy comfort of being inside if it is rainy, or there are observation decks up top and then also to the sides, which is beautiful whale viewing locations as well.
Also, all sorts of information about California gray whales and other whales in the area at this center. And the staff there, happy to answer any questions and tell you about the biology, the migratory patterns, anything else you want to know about whales. It's definitely worth a stop. Let's talk about some of the other events you've got going on at some of your parks in late March.
Yes, we are very busy in March. In Oregon, it is spring break, and so there are a lot of opportunities for families to get out and take advantage of some of the activities that we have throughout the state. One of them that's going to be starting soon is a Yozakura viewing, and that's seeing the cherry blossoms at the Oregon State Capitol, and they're illuminated at night, decorated with Japanese lanterns. It's really gorgeous if you haven't had a chance to see that, and that's March 15th through April 6th. And so people, it's a favorite event here locally. People come out multiple times to kind of stroll through the cherry blossoms, and at night it's pretty magical.
Something that's happening, actually not March, but early April, and there's several of these sessions, the Fort Rock Cave Tour. Now, Fort Rock, located in kind of southeast Oregon, very remote place. Tell our listeners a little bit about these tours.
And this is a tour that I haven't had a chance to go on myself, but I'm very excited to be able to participate when I get a chance to head out there. And the only way that you can see the cave is through the tour, so it's definitely worth checking out. And so you can find out all of that information on our website at stateparks.oregon.gov. And so it'll list all the times for the Fort Rock Cave Tour throughout the season. And so starting April 6th, but then going throughout the season, you can pick a time slot. But it's the Fort Rock Cave is near Fort Rock State Natural Area, and it's the site of archaeological discoveries dating back about 10,000 years. And so it's a pretty vital part of the Native American history and life, and it's a natural historic landmark. And it's only, and as I said previously, it's only open to the public through a guided tour through the state park tour.
All right. Getting back towards the spring break session, we've got Friday morning bird walks and a Let's Go Birding at Coffinberry Lake bird hike taking place at Tryon Creek State Natural Area and Fort Stevens State Park. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely. It's a great time to get out there and to go on these guided hikes. It's kind of a celebration of spring, right? We start to hear the birds and we start to see kind of that spring behavior, whether that's nesting or... And so it's nice to go with a guide who knows the park really well and can spot all of those signs and be able to share those with visitors, as well as getting out and kind of stretching your legs. I don't know if folks are doing a lot of hiking in the off-season, so it's a nice time to come out and kind of take it easy and look at some really cool stuff that's happening seasonally.
Sticking with the birds, eggs, nests, and spring bird behaviors. Going to be a session there Sunday, March 31st at L.L. Stubbs Stewart State Park. That's a beautiful and very expansive state park.
Absolutely. And there's a couple other events, too, at L.L. Stubbs Stewart. We'll have the Secret Lives of Beavers, March 29th, so that'll be a really fun discussion. In addition, we're also having the Plant Walk, March 22nd. So several opportunities at Stubbs Stewart.
All right. Let's talk something that's not necessarily outdoorsy, but it's very interesting. You have up near John Day, Oregon, called the Kanwha Chung Heritage Site. And it's going to actually be open early. It's going to be open for tours during spring break from March 25th to the 29th. Why don't you tell our listeners more about this heritage site?
It's incredible. It's really unique among all of the sites in the Oregon State Park system. The Kanwha Chung Building and Museum is a national historic landmark. It preserves the home and business of two Chinese immigrants, Ying Doc Hay and Meng Ong. And for more than 60 years, the building was a social, medical, and religious center for Oregon's Chinese community. And when they moved out, they kind of locked the door and left, and then the building sat empty. And I don't remember, but I want to say for decades. And before, I think the city of John Day was looking at raising the building for the park. And they thought, and we're like, well, before we raise the building, we should probably check out and see what's in it. And so when they went in, they saw a perfectly preserved apothecary and a store and residence. With everything still in its place. And so it is incredible. It's like a time capsule. And anybody who has a chance or opportunity to be in the John Day area, it's definitely worth a visit.
All right. That sounds really interesting indeed. Okay, let's turn to summer employment for all of you college kids or parents who have college kids, or even if you're older, maybe you're retired. If you might be interested in working as a seasonal park ranger or assistant, I understand Oregon State Parks is hiring 250 of them.
Absolutely. We are recruiting, as you said, 250 seasonal park rangers and assistants for positions across the state. And the duration ranges anywhere from 4 months to 9 months. And the peak season is about April to September. But some of those possibilities are starting as early as this month, and they run as late as December, depending on the park and what their needs are. Seasonal staff, they help visitors access world-class experiences. Some of the things that we were just talking about, they ensure clean and safe park areas for everyone to enjoy. And the duties include some janitorial work, landscape maintenance, and visitor education and visitor services. Again, if you go to our website, you can find out more about those openings. If you go to stateparks.oregon.gov and under Join Us and then Work With Us, there's a link to the current openings to find out more information about where those seasonal positions are. And each of those recruitments will be used to hire several seasonal staff at each of those parks. So you might not see 250 jobs listed, but each park is recruiting for multiple positions, and it's going to be a rolling recruitment, so we'll continue updating those throughout the season as parks identify what their needs are for summer.
All right, one more time with that website for employment.
Yes, stateparks.oregon.gov, and if you go to Join Us and Work With Us, you'll be able to find the current openings.
Well, if you were looking for a summer job, this might be a great one for you. I know my son, when he was in college, worked 2 years for Washington State Parks and really enjoyed the experience. I'm sure you will too in Oregon. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about these events that are going on during spring break, just go to OregonStateParks.org. That's OregonStateParks.org. Stephanie, thanks for highlighting all of this for us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter, full of the gear you need to succeed this hunting season. Firearms, ammo, archery equipment, decoys, clothing, boots, and more. Find a location near you or shop online today at sportsmans.com.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Got a question for you. Do you like watching birds? Do you like watching really big birds, maybe big majestic birds? Well, I've got the event for you. It's the Othello Sandhill Crane Festival. It's taking place this year, March 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in the Columbia Basin, Adams County, Washington. With us here to tell you more about it is Chris Bronwart. She is the co-chair of the event, and Jen Stevenson, who's the co-coordinator for the Othello Sandhill Crane Festival. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Chris, we're going to start off with you. Why don't you give our listeners a brief overview of the Othello Sandhill Crane Festival to include how long it's been going on and just how many folks come and attend this every year?
The Sandhill Crane Festival started in 1998, and it started with the help of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, the Conservation District, and the Othello Chamber of Commerce. And it's been very successful because of all the volunteers and people that come forward to help put this event on. It is a three-day event. We have lectures, 20 to 25 lectures on Saturday of each year, and we have tours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have a $10 admission to get in to listen to the lectures, and you can listen to lectures all day long on Saturday. We usually have between 1,000 and 1,500 people attend our festival each year. Some people come just for the bike ride. Some people just come for the tour, but there's many activities available for you to enjoy. So we hope you join us.
So, Jen, why don't we talk about some of the more popular tours that are being offered here? And I guess we'll start off with this bike ride.
The bike ride is very popular. We actually added two this year. So we have one on Friday afternoon and one on Saturday morning. And it's just a general bird viewing bike ride. So we have tours that we do by bikes, by boat, by bus, by foot, self-guided tours. We have all kinds of things. We want to be able to hit everyone's comfort levels. The most popular ones have always been the boat tours. They sell out really quickly. They go on Potholes Reservoir. And it's just, those are general bird tours, and we always have long wait lists, and we're constantly trying to figure out how can we put more boat tours out there. Other popular ones, very, very popular ones that we just add more and more every year are crane viewing tours. Those are by bus. We put an agricultural guide and a wildlife guide on those so that they can answer questions, because a lot of times the wildlife guides couldn't say, well, what are they growing over there? And what's that out there in that field? The ag guides know all of those things and know the area for those kinds of details. So we put up to 50 people on a school bus, and they get to go out and look for cranes. So those are Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday morning. Those still have some availabilities. We do have lots of other kinds of, there's general birding tours. We still have some of those tours are still available. We have all kinds of different hikes. Most of those have been sold out. Everything that we still have spots for, since registration is closed, tickets will be available in a first-come, first-served basis starting on Friday night, and then Saturday morning as well, and Sunday morning. Just depending upon what spots are still out there, we have other tours that go out to some of the different agricultural locations, like family growing farms, stuff like that. Those are very popular. So we try to really not just show people about the birds in the area, but everything that there is that Othello offers. We're a large agricultural community as well.
It is a really big agricultural community, and the birds are tied to it. So number one, you've got the sandhill cranes, which are definitely tied to it. And you'll see them soaring around in a circular pattern at night, making their very distinctive noise. You'll see them in the mornings and the evenings. You'll see lots of other birds, too. There is a ton of snow geese out here this year. Probably about 10,000 birds rafted up on Potholes Reservoir this afternoon. And you've got all sorts of other waterfowl, Canada geese, mallards, widgeons, you know, you name it in terms of ducks. And we haven't even talked about some of the other species you're going to see out here. But before we do that, let's hit again on some of these lectures, because I love the idea that you can show up, even if you're not on one of the tours, if you want to learn more about the birds out here or birding in general, you just pay $10 and you can see as many lectures as you like. What are some of the lectures?
So we have lectures on birds. We have lectures on Ice Age floods. There are ones on all kinds of different animals in the area, sagebrush steppe environment. There's photography lectures. I mean, we try to have a wide selection. There's usually 5 lectures going on at the same time. There are sometimes on Friday night, there's a free lecture that is WSU Raptors Club comes. They bring their birds. They talk about the individual birds, different characteristics of those birds. So Friday night lecture has always been free. It's the Saturday lectures that we have multiple lectures going on. That those are the ones that are included in general admission for $10.
And I should also tell you, if you're into raptors, this is a great place to be. There's a whole bunch of bald eagles right now over Potholes Reservoir where these birding boat tours are taking place. You've got Swainson's hawks that have been there all winter. You've got the American kestrel, also known as the sparrowhawk, that's been there all winter too. And we're going to have some of these other raptors that are coming back, and they might be here for you by the time you get here, not to mention the owls that are all over the place right now. So let's talk a little bit more about the sandhill cranes. I mean, they're really magnificent birds. Distinctive call, huge wingspan. Has their migration always coincided with the festival in terms of the days that you throw the festival, or has Mother Nature thrown some curveballs where you've got the Sandhill Crane Festival and the cranes declined to arrive?
The sandhill cranes migrate through Othello. They spend their winters down in the Lodi, California basin, and then they continue their journey to Alaska. They stop in Othello for anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks, and while they're in Othello, they refuel and rest. The agricultural fields that haven't been planted or plowed yet, there's a lot of nutrition for them there, and they eat the leftover corn, the wheat. They also eat frogs, snakes, bugs, so whatever is available, they will eat. And when they leave here, they wait until a nice, relatively warmer day, and they will fly way up to the thermals, and they will just kind of ride the thermals up to Alaska. And they can travel 200 to 300 miles in a day if the winds are blowing right and they're ready to fly. So they can get to Alaska, I think, quicker than I can.
Well, and I can tell you this, folks, living in the area, the cranes are here. Not all of them are here yet, but there are cranes here, so this is going to be a good one. We are running short on time, but Chris, why don't you address the subject of bird etiquette? There's going to be 1,500 bird watchers out here, and there are etiquette rules that they should follow.
The cranes, you will not get close to the cranes. They stay out in the middle of the fields. And so if you go to view the cranes, we really kind of ask that you stay on the side of the fields. Your car is a wonderful blind, but please pull way off the road if you're going to stop to see them. Pull off the road and turn off your engine, roll down your window, and you will hear their distinctive cry. And then you look in the direction that that sound is coming from. It's very important that you bring binoculars. If you really want to see the birds and enjoy them, the binoculars will give you a nice up-close view, and you can watch their antics. They are dancing out in the field. They are feeding out in the field. They are mating out in the field. And so if you give them their space and their time, you will get a really good show and enjoy seeing the cranes.
Haven't even had time to really talk about Potholes Reservoir and the Sand Dunes region there, or the Columbia National Wildlife Refuge, which has the cranes in there, as well as all sorts of other birds and wildlife. But I would steer you towards the following website. That would be othellosandhillcranefestival.org. And Jen, what is the Facebook page?
Othello Sandhill Crane Festival. And we keep the Facebook page very up to date. We try to put all of the different tours and lectures on that and more information about that.
And by the way, when you get to OthelloSandhillCraneFestival.org, you're going to see an absolutely beautiful painting of a sandhill crane that just happened to be painted by a good friend of mine, Lisa Johnston. And they have different paintings every year for the festival, and they're always very impressive. The website again, OthelloSandhillCraneFestival.org, and the Facebook page, Othello Sandhill Crane Festival. Check it out. Make plans to attend. It's going to be all sorts of fun. Jen, Chris, thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Head to Montana's Missouri River Country this fall for some of the best bird hunting you'll find in North America. Take your dog for a long walk, hunting sharp-tailed grouse and pheasant. Canada geese are plentiful for all you waterfowl hunters, and if you're a big game hunter, you'll find plenty of opportunities to tag out on deer, elk, and pronghorn. After your hunt is done, stay at a hotel in one of our communities. Most of them are pet-friendly, and reward yourself with a hearty meal. Find out more at MissouriRiverMT.com and sign up to receive a free travel guide.
Grow your love for the outdoors at the 62nd Annual Bighorn Show, March 14th to 17th at the Spokane County Fairgrounds, presented by Lithia Motors. There's something for everyone in the family at the Bighorn Show. Visit and shop hundreds of vendors and exhibitors. Check out the Trophy Territory Annual Exhibition. Go fishing with the kids at Leshwa Fishing World. Enjoy live music. You will find it all at this year's Bighorn Show. This event is produced by Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. Big thanks to Brett's RV and Marine, Leshwa, and many more. Get your tickets and more details at bighornshow.com.
This year, resolve to immerse yourself into the great outdoors. Whether you're learning to hunt, fish, hike, camp, paddle, or grill, or are looking to take yourself to the next level, the place to go for the gear you need is Sportsman's Warehouse. With over 145 stores around the nation, Sportsman's Warehouse is truly America's premier outfitter. Find a store near you or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com. That's sportsmans.com for Sportsman's Warehouse.
Want to go fishing and make money? You are in luck. This year's Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery kicks off May 1st. Just register at a check station and go fishing for 9-inch or longer northern pike minnow within designated waters of the Columbia or Snake River. Then you bring your fish back and collect a voucher good for a cash reward. The more fish you catch, the more they're worth. Catch a pike minnow with a special tag and you've landed $500. Find out more at pikeminnow.org. That's pikeminnow.org.
Before we go today, we've got time for one last shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with your host, John Cruz.
I'm glad you're back, and just a reminder, if you're looking for something to do this week, the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show is going off at the Spokane Fair and Expo Center through Sunday. All sorts of vendors there, all sorts of activities for the kids, great seminars and more, all sorts of fun. Head on down there, don't miss out. And now it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week. The Bassmaster Classic is going to be going off next week at Grand Lake in Oklahoma, and the weigh-ins will be at the Convention Center in Tulsa. I was all ready to go until I had this unfortunate knee injury, so I had to cancel everything. And one person I was looking forward to seeing was Brandon Polinuk. He is a Bassmaster Elite Series angler. He's once again qualified for the Classic. And here's your question. What Northwest state is he from? Is he from Washington? Is he from Northern California? Or is he from Idaho? If you know the answer, you know what to do. Just go to northwesternoutdoors.com and shoot us your answer through our Contact Us page there, or shoot me a direct message in my email. It's an easy one, John, J-O-H-N, at northwesternoutdoors.com. By the way, I'll be rooting for Brandon. Not only is he very talented, but he's a really nice guy, and you got to root for the home team. And when I say the home team, I mean the Northwest. I'm not giving anything away here. Again, let me know what state Brandon Polinuk is from, and I hope you'll help me root for him to win the Bassmaster Classic this year. Is it Washington? Is it Northern California, or is it Idaho? One lucky person who guesses right wins that $25 gift card we give away every week from America's Premier Outfitter. And they've got all sorts of bass fishing gear for you, just in case you want to go out there and pretend you're fishing the classic yourself. On that note, it is time to go, but here's hoping that the week ahead is good for you. Until next time, do take care, God bless, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.